Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network.
In the future, none of you are heroes.
You're legends.
Get driven. Stay driven.
To the Batmobile. Let's go.
Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
Howdy, folks. It is 10 o'clock on Friday night, and it's time for Mavericks Comic Roundup, the world's greatest comic book podcast that is hosted by a masked wrestling cowboy. I am your host, Maverick, and I do welcome you to this evening's show. Thank you for tuning in here on the Totally Driven Radio Network as a part of Roundup Night. And we have what I hope is a very fun show for you. Tonight's theme, Wrestling with Comics. I'm going to take a look at the often strange, sometimes funny, but always there connection between comic books and the world of pro wrestling. Now, it, you know, makes sense for me to host a show like this, being that I spent many years as a pro wrestler and, you know, I wear a mask and jump around like a cowboy. So it's something I've been wanting to do literally from the start of the show. We are going to take a look at the new Boom Studios WWE Then, Now, and Forever one-shot that's going to launch the new WWE comics from Boom Studios. We are going to talk about wrestlers whose personas based on comic books. We have a special six shooter tonight. Instead of six comic books I think you should read, we're going to highlight six comic book inspired professional wrestlers that are not the Maverick. And my good friend Mike Ferrara is going to be calling in tonight. You know he's going to have a lot to say on the subject as the host of Pro Wrestling Now. And who knows what other surprises we'll have in store as we get through the very first Wrestling with Comics. And I say first because I think this is a topic we're going to come back to from time to time. So, but first, let's get on over to the comic book news. Sort of a light news week in the world of comics, as it sometimes happens. Not that the news we have isn't important, but it's just not a whole lot of it coming out. The big news this week is actually from DC Comics, and that is Young Justice is returning for a season three. Now, Young Justice is based on a DC Universe animated comic book series. Animated series based on the comic book heroes. Many of the younger teen heroes of the, actually now a few years ago, because there's been such a changeover between the New 52 and Rebirth. But it looked a Teen Titan-esque type series, but it incorporated a lot of other superheroes into it. It was really, really popular. It aired on the Cartoon Network for two seasons. And then the show was abruptly canceled. And there was a lot of rumors and speculation as to why. Some sources say that Warner Brothers canceled it because they weren't making enough money off of merchandising for it, because the toy line didn't do very well and there wasn't a lot of product for it. Others say it was because Cartoon Network wanted to go into a different direction with lighter-based cartoon, because Young Justice was a pretty heavy show. But it never went away. Fans kept crying, not crying, but calling for a season three. They wanted to, there was some loose ends left at the end of season two that they wanted resolved, more characters they wanted to see and see what happened to them. They kept going. The show hit Netflix not that long ago, and that really was a turning point because the viewing on Netflix for Young Justice was just off the page, and the producers, who still loved the show and encouraged the fans to speak up whenever they could, you know, encouraged that. And now, you know, your prayers and requests have been answered. Young Justice is returning for season three. There's been no real word as to when the show is going to air or even what channel it's going to air, because there's some speculation that it could be at Netflix or it could go back to Cartoon Network. There's a rights thing that have to be worked out with that's way above my pay grade. Kind of excited to see this show come back. It was a great show. It was very mature handling of superheroes. It was a grown-up superhero show in animated form. Not that it did a lot of crazy over-the-top things, but it wasn't as slap and silly as, say, Teen Titans Go. And I'm not knocking that show. It's just a very different direction. So we'll see what the future holds for that and how much it's going to change, because there's been a lot of changes in the comic books to these characters, and it'll be interesting to see how closely they follow some of those trends. And it'll be interesting to see if they ignore the Rebirth and New 52 stuff and just go with what they had planned with the characters, because some of those characters have changed greatly, both in the comics and in Young Justice. So, very exciting news. The show's in production now. Usually means about a year before we see it, but I'm sure this summer we'll get some kind of teaser or something at San Diego. My guess, we haven't heard anything for sure, but that's my speculation. Also on the DC side this week, the trailer for the CW Network's 4DC superhero show crossover, Heroes versus Aliens, that's going to feature Supergirl, The Flash, Arrow, and the Legends of the DC Universe heroes banding together to take on aliens in a storyline that I hear is based on the Invasion miniseries that DC did many years ago. Don't have a lot of details yet, but that's coming up in a few weeks. Supergirl is crossing over officially. She wasn't a part of that last year when they did the big crossover episode with Vandal Savage because, well, honestly, she was on a different network. So now that she's on CW, she's a part of that. The Vandal Savage thing launched the Legends of the DC Universe. So and we'll see what comes out of that. Four shows. It's going to be a four-night-long crossover. And I believe it's the end of this month. Not exactly sure, but I believe it starts the 24th. No, it won't start the 21st because that's Thanksgiving. It's got to be the 28th that it's going to launch. So I will double-check that for you folks and let you know next week. Jumping over to the Marvel side of things, keeping in line with the television theme we've got going for the news, the new Marvel Cloak and Dagger television series that is coming to Freeform will be it looks like it's going to be hitting the airwaves in 2018. It's going to follow the Cloak and Dagger series. Honestly, this is much of when I heard this, I was like, yeah, that's exactly why Disney bought Marvel. Not so much for the comic book aspects of it, but to get those characters into TVs and movies. Freeform is the perfect venue for a Cloak and Dagger series. We'll be talking about that more as it gets closer. But winter of 2018, it sounds like it's a far off, but, you know, we're a month away from 2017. So we'll see what happens with that. There's been no casting or a lot of information. From what I understand, it was pushed back to winter of 2018 because of rewrites. They weren't happy with the script, and they want to get that set up. So, Cloak and Dagger's still coming, just not as soon as we thought. Also today, literally today, this afternoon, Marvel unveiled the first of what they're calling a new weekly online animated video series called TLDR, and they say it's going to offer quick downloads of some of Marvel's greatest titles, events, and stories. The first one is on today. You can catch it on YouTube, probably link through Marvel's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. They have probably links all over. The first one is all about the Planet Hulk storyline and miniseries. It's a very short, very silly animated. It's pretty funny. There's some funny moments in it. Some of the animation is good. It's not really complex. It's done really, really quick. And I imagine if they're going to be, you know, so many stories and they're going to be knocking these out weekly, they're not putting a ton of into it, but they're still very well done. If you're not familiar with the Planet Hulk series, it's a good way to catch up, get you interested in reading the series, which is the purpose of it, because they've got so much history over the years. Every week they're going to be doing a new one. Planet Hulk actually, you know, spun into World War Hulk, so they may do that one next. I don't know if they're going to follow that train of thought or how they're going to do it. But it's a fun little way if you're looking to catch up on some Marvel history, too. If you're new to comics and you're looking to catch up, it's a quick way, 2-3 minutes, it looks like the shorts are going to be. And you'll be able to catch up on different storylines or find something that you're interested in reading. And heading back, no staying with Marvel. The Kingpin, Bullseye, and Elektra will all be getting new comics, spinning out of the Running with the Devil story arc that begins in Daredevil 17. Now, this is big because obviously Daredevil is now getting a lot of exposure because of the enormous success of the first two seasons of the Daredevil series on Netflix. Season 3 is happening, the Defenders is coming up, and Daredevil will be a part of that, as will Elektra. That was announced recently. And not surprisingly, Elektra's look looks very much like the television series look for Elektra. They are saying that Bullseye is a miniseries, while Elektra and Kingpin will be regular running series. So it looks like, much like any comic company, but Marvel's been, you get something successful and they spin into it and expand the line to give people more things. We've got 700 or 800 Avengers books right now, and it looks like Daredevil's going to be spreading the love. We'll have a Daredevil series, Bullseye, a miniseries, Elektra, and the Kingpin, which is very interesting because the Kingpin historically is a villain, although there have been quite a few villain series recently. It'll be interesting to see a series about a guy who, you know, essentially is in the shadows a lot and controls things from behind the scenes as opposed to being out front and center, kind of robbing a bank kind of villain. But who knows? Stranger things have happened, and it could be a very interesting series if it's done right. So, you know, that's it for the news today. I said it was a slow news day. Not too much else going on that caught my attention and I needed to share. So yeah, that's the news. Some exciting things, just not a lot of things. We're going to go to commercial, and when we come back, we're going to take a look at WWE, then, now, and forever, number one.
For $5 today, you can buy a wealth of things. Gas for your car, rent a movie for the family, a few slices of pizza. $5 still takes you a long ways. But did you know that $5 can buy your child a bag of heroin in the streets? That's right. For only $5, your son or daughter can buy some of the cheapest and purest dope in the country. Be aware of the lies. Be aware of the stealing. Be aware that's all it takes to kill your child. $5. This message was brought to you by Casey's Cause, a group of parents located in Southern Chester County out to save your child's life. Come join us today at www.caseyscause.com. And remember, $5 is all it takes. Casey's Cause. www.caseyscause.com.
Looking for that perfect gift for your girlfriend? Then look no further than Teddy Scares. Teddy Scares are available in a variety of styles, sizes, and prices for all your shopping needs. Teddy Scares are a mix of cute and creepy to make a great gift for almost any age. Board up your windows, lock your doors, and log on to TeddyScares.com. And be sure to become our friends at Facebook.com/TeddyScares.
Calling all comic book fans. Do you collect comics? Did you ever collect comics? Do you think your children might like reading comic books? Do you even know they still print real, paper, non-digital comic books? Well, then visit the Pirates of Ontario Street Comics in Philadelphia. We have a massive collection of comic books, action figures, trading cards, and much more. We have one of the largest stocks of back-issue comics in the area. We bag and board every new comic book at no extra charge. Our store is voted the best comic book shop in the 2013 PHL 17 Hot List Contest. Part of the movie Unbreakable is filmed in our store. We are open 7 days a week. Ontario Street Comics is located at 2235 East Ontario Street in the Port Richmond section of Philly. Our phone number is 215-288-7338. Type in the words Ontario Comics Philadelphia to check out our wacky stores page on Facebook.
Are you looking for a mortgage for that new home? Do you want to refinance to a lower rate, obtain cash out, or consolidation? If so, call Anthony Muscarella of Advisors Mortgage Group. Advisors Mortgage Group is a mortgage banker and loan our own money to first lien mortgage loans. We have built a platform for a seamless and stress-free mortgage process, which remains our number one goal for all of our customers. We understand that success cannot be obtained without teamwork and communication, two of our most important strengths. If you're looking to apply for a loan or simply have some questions, please don't hesitate to give Anthony Muscarella a call at 732-749-3333, extension 12, who, by the way, has been recognized by Mortgage Executive Magazine as being one of the top 1% of originators in America. That number again, call Anthony Muscarella at 732-749-3333, extension 12, where we tailor our loans to meet your needs. Advisors Mortgage Group is an equal housing opportunity lender licensed by the New Jersey Department of Banking and Insurance. Branch NMLS number 173453. Loan officer NMLS number 111400.
All right, welcome back to Mavericks Comic Roundup here on the Totally Driven Radio Network. And it's time now to get into our theme of the show, Wrestling with Comics. As many of you who listen to the show know, and some of you who may not know, I am a professional wrestler who has a great big love of comic books. And honestly, if I have to be truthful, I loved comic books and superheroes long before I loved professional wrestling. Ever since I was a young kid, my oldest memories and fondest memories were of playing superheroes in Star Wars. And the two went hand in hand for many, many years. And it wasn't until, I guess, early teenage years that I really got hooked into pro wrestling. I'd always watched it. We watched it a lot on Sunday nights and TBS. I remember, you know, watching that a lot as a kid, and didn't start getting into it till I was probably 12, 13 years old, I think. And from that point on, I was hooked because it was literally my chance of becoming a real life superhero. And it's something I always wanted to do. And I've got to do so many wonderful things as a part of it. The Maverick character has gotten me bits to chances to step into the comic book world, hosting this show, comic book events, just a lot of fun stuff. And one of the things I discovered over the years is that there is a strong correlation between the world of comic books and pro wrestling. It wasn't just me. There's a lot of pro wrestlers who are big-time comic book fans, and the two have crossed over both sides of the line. There have been a lot of comic books based on pro wrestling, and there have been a lot of pro wrestlers who base their look, identities, or names on comic books. And as I investigated the subject, I found out some really, really neat things and ideas. And I thought it would make for an interesting show. And one of those things came out this week, which is why I decided to do it now. It's a new line of comics from Boom Studios. I'm a big Boom Studios fan. A couple years back, they did some fantastic Disney comics under their Kids Kaboom line. They do Hero Bear and the Kid now. They published that. But this is a new line of WWE comics. And WWE has had a long history of comics and being in comics. Most notably back in the 90s, Chaos Comics did a line of WWE character comic books like The Undertaker and Mankind and Stone Cold Steve Austin. And they were based on those wrestlers' personas. The Undertaker comic was a very supernatural horror-type title that had him battling Paul Bearer and Kane at the time and featured Mankind and The Brood and different things like that. Stone Cold was like a modern Western where Steve Austin kind of went into a deserted town and had to be the outlaw guy kicking some serious butt to save the day in his own unique brand of justice. Mankind's was just wacky and crazy. And then there was a WWE Heroes line that was not really well received. I honestly didn't even pick it up. And even just a few years ago, WWE teamed up with Super Genius Comics, which is a brand of comics from Paper Cuts, an older line, as it were. They were going for a teenage market. And they did a series called WWE Superstars. And Mick Foley himself actually wrote those comics, and there was two storylines that I'm aware of, Money in the Bank and the I forget what the other one was called, but it dealt with the legend. It may have been called Legends and dealt with a crazy story. But now Boone's taking a shot at it. They put out a series of one-page comic sheets to advertise their relationship in San Diego, and Wednesday, they released Then, Now, and Forever, and it's kind of, I'm guessing, a bit of what they've got planned coming out. There's several stories. The main story is called Breaking the Shield, and from what I understand, that's a sneak a peek or a preview to what the main comic series' first story arc is going to be, written by Dennis Hopeless, who actually wrote the X-Men comics way back. And it kind of deals with the break. It straight up deals with the breakup of the Shield. But it's done in comic book fashion. It's done from Seth Rollins' point of view, and there's some over-the-top action that didn't happen on screen. It does show some of the things that happened with the breakup of the Shield, some of the matches involved. The feud with the Wyatt family is expanded in a very crazy over-the-top way. Those things that they could not possibly do on WWE TV, but still stayed firm to the world of WWE. So it looks like the comic is going to be an enhancement, or at least this storyline is going to be an enhancement of those things. The art's really, really good. The story is kind of interesting. It's interesting how they did it. They showed the Shield as a brother. They kind of teased what happened with Seth, which really isn't a tease if you know him, but they had him acting kind of sneaky and shady behind the scenes, which really didn't play out in the actual Shield turn. It was such an abrupt thing. So it's interesting to see how this is going to take storylines and possibly add layers to them or incorporate some fictional elements to it. The first backup feature is another multiple page story, which I think is also going to be either sometime down the line or be a backup feature to the book. It features the New Day's Optimistic Odyssey. And this is done full on comedy and full on fantasy, but it still ties in a lot of elements of the New Day. It's actually quite hysterical. It deals with the New Day finding out that they're hosting a camp. A positivity camp, and they find out something goes wrong, and some of the other wrestlers get involved, and they find out that the power of positivity has been erased from existence. So they go back and and get that crazy cardboard box time machine that they used on Raw several months ago, and plan to go back and find the booty and fix it, as it were. All the things that are booty that have messed up the time stream, the New Day is going to fix it, to bring back positivity to the world. The artwork is much more over the top than the Shield story. There's an interesting last panel, because it's only a teaser, you don't get the full story. Not exactly sure what they were going for here, but it's kind of over the top, and I'm not going to spoil it because it is kind of funny. The book is then finished up with a bunch of different shorts and teasers. There's a Sasha Banks feature that kind of shows you her as a child being inspired by Eddie Guerrero. It almost looks photorealistic, but I really don't know. I doubt it because, I mean, young Sasha Banks plays into the story, but I think some of the current stuff of Eddie and Sasha and the Divas are photo manipulated. They look like they're pictures that have been enhanced with some crazy color and scheme, really artistic looking, really different schematic. Just kind of shows you Sasha's inspiration, and you hear some words from her. The next feature is my absolute favorite part of the book. And that is a tugboat cartoon. And I actually took a picture of this and sent it out to my friends, some of my friends today. I thought it was hilarious. They did a very Popeye-esque adventure featuring Tugboat, done in a grayscale, black and white, and he's playing the role of Popeye. Earthquake is playing the role of Brutus, and it's just really, really threw me that, of all things, a Tugboat cartoon appears in there. But it's just quite funny. The book is then filled out with the one-page comics that were included in the San Diego handouts that they had. They reprinted it with Stone Cold, The Rock, Triple H, John Cena, Sasha Banks, The New Day, Undertaker, and Dusty Rhodes. Just little one-page sheets that kind of tell you who they are, some of their catchphrases, illustrated versions of some of their bigger moments. So all in all, I'm guessing it's supposed to be a taste of the things to come. We know in January, WWE number one is the comic, and it follows the undisputed future of Seth Rollins. And it's supposed to go more in depth about his coming back, the injury, and the breakup of the Shield. So all in all, I'm very curious to see where and how much Boom is going to put out from the WWE. This was a one-shot, but there's a lot of different things in it. And I don't know how the WWE comic itself is going to run. Is it going to run in parts, like an anthology-type thing? Are they going to have more than one title? The San Diego pages, really not much to them to tell you if there's going to be a story. They're just kind of promo pieces. They're really well done, but there's not much in the way of story. But the New Day and the Seth Rollins Shield thing and even the Tugboat cartoon, you know, seems to be a teaser as far as things are going to be in the WWE comic book series. So it's in stores now. There's actually a lot of variant covers. They put a lot into the launch of this. It's a $3.99 book, so it's a great value for all you get. I mean, thicker than a lot of the current comics out there. And they did a lot of covers. They did five different covers for it, and the covers were broken down into Then, featuring Triple H, Stone Cold Steve Austin, and The Rock. Now, which is Shield covers, which actually all three members of the Shield, so it's actually seven. And then there's an Undertaker variant comic. And they, so seven different covers for this book out there, really pushed. They've been pushing it for a long time. And if you're a WWE fan, it's definitely a fun pickup. Interesting to see a different take on things. A little bit of stuff for everybody. There's a more serious tale. There's a lot of silliness and a lot of potential here. A long, long list of characters that could break into comic book form for the WWE and storylines they could adapt could be really interesting, I think. So head to your local comic book stores now. Check out Then, Now, and Forever. I got the Triple H cover. It's actually really well done. Cartoon or comic book version of Triple H with his sledgehammer was by Matthias Vergara, who I don't really know so well, but he did a great job on the cover of this. So that is my very in-depth review of Then, Now, and Forever number one. I will also be doing a written review of that in the future. You can look out for that. I'm not sure where that one's going to land. I don't know if that's a Comic Universe or a Totally Driven one, but I will certainly share out the link to it if you want to read a written version of all that I just said. So, it's 10:30. That means I'm going to jump and take our second commercial block, and when I come back, we're going to talk six comic book wrestlers you should know about, none of which are the Maverick. I'm excluding myself from the countdown. So, let's go to commercial, and we got more show when we come back.
Attention business owners, website owners, event promoters, or anyone looking to promote your product. The Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network is the perfect way to spread the word of your business around the world. That's right, you can advertise at our network and be played on all of our shows at rates that are so cheap, it's a no-brainer. For more information, contact Bay Ragney at bayragney@gmail.com. To keep your business driven, stay driven with Totally Driven Entertainment.
Hey everybody, this is Nick Wilkinson with TV Nation and Totally Driven Radio and Entertainment. Sadly, each year, approximately 3.6 million children become victims of child abuse. My latest ebook, Child Abuse, The Ripple Effect, explores the long-lasting effects abuse can have on victims. Explore life after the abuse ends and how we cope with the tragedies of the past. Child Abuse, The Ripple Effect is available on Kindle for only 99 cents. And don't forget to check out my website, actingnotreacting.com, a common sense approach to teens in crisis. Let's work together and make this world a better place. And remember, stay driven.
Are you a fan of Sherlock Holmes? Letters from Holmes offers unique, one-of-a-kind letters from the world-famous detective himself. Handwritten on 8.5-inch by 11-inch aged parchment paper and using smudge-free ink to produce original, high-quality letters that fans will treasure for years to come. Each letter is handcrafted and written from the perspective of Sherlock Holmes, mimicking Holmes's native tongue and embracing many of the famous detective's quirks, quips, insults, and peculiarities. Order a love letter, birthday greeting, personal correspondence, or more only at www.etsy.com/shop/lettersfromholmes.
Are you looking for a mortgage for that new home? Do you want to refinance to a lower rate, obtain cash out, or consolidation? If so, call Anthony Muscarella of Advisors Mortgage Group. Advisors Mortgage Group is a mortgage banker and loan our own money to first lien mortgage loans. We have built a platform for a seamless and stress-free mortgage process, which remains our number one goal for all of our customers. We understand that success cannot be obtained without teamwork and communication, two of our most important strengths. If you're looking to apply for a loan or simply have some questions, please don't hesitate to give Anthony Muscarella a call at 732-749-3333, extension 12, who, by the way, has been recognized by Mortgage Executive Magazine as being one of the top 1% of originators in America. That number again, call Anthony Muscarella at 732-749-3333, extension 12, where we tailor our loans to meet your needs. Advisors Mortgage Group is an equal housing opportunity lender licensed by the New Jersey Department of Banking and Insurance. Branch NMLS number 173453. Loan officer NMLS number 111400.
All right, welcome back to Maverick's Comic Roundup here on the Totally Driven Radio Network. I am your host, Maverick, and if you're just tuning in halfway through the show, that's okay, we don't mind. Wrestling with Comics is the theme this week. We are taking a look at the crazy world of comics and the crazy world of wrestling and how many times they have come together. And earlier we talked about some of the WWE comics. They are by no means the only wrestling comic books out there. There have been tons. There have been lots of comic book characters who crossed over into the other side, and that's what we're going to talk about now. We're going to talk about my six shooter. Six, usually as Slam of the Week, I give you six comics I think you should check out, but for this one, I wanted to do something a little different. Six comic book-inspired professional wrestlers that are not the Maverick, because I think it would be unfair. I talk about myself enough on this show, since it does have my name on it. But there's a whole lot of other comic book-themed wrestlers, or inspired wrestlers, I should say. Now, obviously, luchadors, as they were, cross over into the world of comics and animation and things quite a bit. So I left a lot of them off, I'm sure. We talked quite a bit about them on my previous shows. Maybe we'll get into a whole subject matter down the line. If this proves to be a popular enough topic, we can definitely do more. And there have been a lot of professional wrestlers who got into movies about comic books. Batista in Guardians of the Galaxy, Kevin Nash was in The Punisher, and also one of the Ninja Turtle movies. But this is a list of wrestlers whose persona and characters were, in some instances, literally ripped out of comics. And I've got six of them here, and I'm going to give you some of the wacky history behind them, tell you all about them in my six-shooter. Number one on the list this week, definitely a character who always came to mind whenever I talked about wrestling superheroes, because he showed up in the early 90s of WCW, and it was so over-the-top blatant what they were attempting to do that it didn't surprise me, and it surprised me even less when the character got pulled, and I've heard rumors that the character got pulled because a certain comic book company took offense. My number one man in the six-shooter, Arachnaman. Now, yeah, Arachnaman. Now, Arachnaman was played by a very talented pro wrestler by the name of Brad Armstrong, who seemed to get saddled with goofy gimmick after goofy gimmick after goofy gimmick. And someone in the powers that be of the early days of WCW thought it was a good idea to take the Spider-Man costume and recreate it in yellow and purple. He wore a yellow and purple version of the Spider-Man costume, and the spider itself wasn't on his chest. It was on top of his mask. So it looked at times like he had a weird haircut coming out of there, but it was actually the spider logo for the costume coming off the top of his head. He came to the ring with some very cartoony music. He actually shot spider webs, quote unquote, out, which was a silly string rocket rigging. It looked a patesh. It was kind of a neat effect. And of course, Brett Armstrong was a very, very good wrestler, so of course, he did well in the ring, but the gimmick was so over the top, and it actually didn't get much traction. It only went on for a few months and then abruptly disappeared. And, of course, the rumor is that someone at Marvel got wind that this was happening and said, no, thank you. You'll not be doing that anymore. Others say that the powers that be at WCW just did away with it, but who knows? Brett Armstrong certainly went on to have some more interesting gimmicks, but Arachnaman, if you search online Arachnaman, you'll see pictures of the goofy costume. I actually posted one in Maverick's Facebook earlier in the week as a teaser for the show. But that was my number one this week, a very silly over-the-top. You can actually get some videos to see him in action as well. So Arachnaman, the short-lived spider-themed superhero from WCW. Number two on the six-shooter this week. It is probably the most successful guy on the list, give or take, in the gimmick. Definitely one of my favorite characters. And one of those things that happened organically and just became brilliant. And I am talking about Hurricane Shane Helms. Shane Helms was a great performer when WWE bought WCW. At the time, a lot of their performers kind of got lost in the shuffle. A lot of those young guys, they liked Shane. He was part of Three Count at the time. And I think actually they just rechristened him as Sugar Shane Helms. They changed his name to Gregory because they didn't want to have more than one Shane on the roster, which I didn't quite understand if that was really the motivation for it. And the character started kind of as a goof. He was backstage with doing an interview with Stone Cold Steve Austin, and he made fun of his Green Lantern tattoo that Shane had at the time. And from that, the character was born and became a really successful character for him. At one point, if what I heard was true, he was one of the top moneymakers as far as merchandising goes. And it was all in the way he portrayed it with such earnest. You had to enjoy. He did it very tongue-in-cheek. He used a lot of the superhero archetypes and tropes of bizarre things that would happen and really used them to his favor. The way he would fly in and out of interviews and the wind would blow in everybody's face as he was, quote-unquote, flying away. I thought what he did when he was doing the reporter, Gregory Helms, and then dressed like a 1950s reporter right out of the Superman TV show, and then go change into the Hurricane was absolutely hilarious. And it actually gave some longevity to that was surprising because they were able to use that. They gave him Molly Holly as a sidekick, as Mighty Molly for a while, and she became part of it. And then later he broke off from her. He went into a good cruiserweight division run, and then eventually he was teamed up with Rosie, of all people, and he became his superhero in training. And then they got Super Stacy, who also put on a superhero costume, Stacy Keibler, and they had an excellent tag team run. And then inexplicably, he took the mask off and was not the Hurricane anymore. He was Gregory Helms. And yeah, interesting thing, he went from one of the most colorful, entertaining characters who was one of the top money guys to the company to being the longest reigning cruiserweight champion that nobody cared about as Gregory Helms. So after that fizzled out, he put the costume back on. And from what I understand, he still does a lot on the independents as the Hurricane. A lot of fun with the character, the mannerisms, the superheroics in the ring. Go back to the Royal Rumble when he challenged both The Rock and Stone Cold in one of the funnier Royal Rumble moments of all time. The Hurricane definitely had a great run as a superhero, and from what I understand, he's still out there fighting crime in the ring today. So Hurricane Helms is my number two in the six shooter. Now, my number three. My number three this week was one I happened across years ago and honestly didn't believe. And when I tell you this guy's story and who was instrumental in it, it's quite entertaining. But there was a journeyman wrestler by the name of Tony Marino. He actually wrestled under several other names, but the Tony Marino was a name he wrestled most popularly. He started wrestling in 1963. He was an underneath worker, a journeyman wrestler. Not a lot of wins, not a lot of success until 1966, when he decided to cash in on the Batman craze and got himself a wrestling version of the Batman costume and called himself Batman with two T's. And yes, he was based on the Adam West Batman. In interviews all the time, Adam West mentions that in 66, that Batman was such a cultural phenomenon, everything was Batman. And this is just one more nod that it was absolutely the truth. And wasn't so much, and he got a lot of attention for the character. He was in front of magazine covers, lots of publicity. He did really, really well because the character was so popular. Batman was so huge then that anything Batman related definitely was in demand, and he made a great thing for himself being Batman, even to the point where, and I could never find out the guy's name, he brought in a tag team partner of Robin, who wore the Robin costume and went out there and wrestled. But he actually had a much bigger tag team partner for a while. And this is the part that I found interesting, that Batman, B-A-T-T-M-A-N, had a very successful tag team partnership with the living legend Bruno Sammartino. And in researching the character, it turns out that Bruno Sammartino, one of the greatest professional wrestlers of all time, was responsible for bringing him into the Pittsburgh area and ran in that area where Bruno was promoting and running at the time as WWWF champion. He had his own office out there and would promote and run some of the shows out there, I guess, for Vince Jr. or Vince Sr., as it were. And he was responsible for bringing Batman in and making him his tag team partner, and they had a pretty lengthy run. And the reason that catches my attention, though, is for so many years, Bruno spoke out about the cartoon and the goofy characters that ruined the sport of wrestling in the WWF, and it's why he left. And, you know, here it is. He was one of the first to bring in Batman and team up with Batman. So I thought that was very interesting. But, you know, revisionist history being what it was, maybe Bruno doesn't like to talk about that. Who knows? I mean, doesn't tarnish Bruno at all. I just thought it was an interesting side note in history that Bruno Sammartino and Batman were a successful tag team. By the 70s, Batman was phased out. I'd read one article that said it just the character died, the interest died. Another article said, you know, DC Comics stepped up and said, excuse me, he belongs to us. But regardless, Batman went away. And ironically, Tony Marino went back to being an underneath guy and didn't quite reach the success that he had as Batman, as Tony Marino. So is my number three in this week's Six Shooter. Moving right along, my number four guy was someone, when I heard about him, I thought it was quite hilarious. I actually, at the time, because of the way the wrestling industry worked, I had to go hunt down VHS copies of this guy to see that he really existed. And it's another one of those crazy, interesting tales. My number four comic book themed wrestler is Cowabunga the Wrestling Turtle. And of all the people on my list, Cowabunga is the one I feel the worst for, because he wrestled in a full length, full suited Ninja Turtle costume, full head to toe green spandex, giant turtle mask, black knee pads and elbow pads, just like he looked very much like the TV Ninja Turtles, except for the black coloring as opposed to the rainbow coloring, because, of course, he was different. He also had a big shell pillow tied to his back. so he went all out and was a full-fledged karate in the ring Ninja Turtle. And a couple interesting things of note about Cowabunga the Wrestling Turtle is he was portrayed primarily, occasionally someone else would flip the costume on, and primarily by legendary referee Mark Hildebrand, who loved wrestling and by all accounts, talking to people who knew him, could have probably been one of the better wrestlers of his day, except he was so small that he ended up just getting referee's work. But down in the Smoky Mountain area where Jim Cornette was promoting, and I believe he spent some time down in Memphis too. I'd have to go back and double check that. But he would come in during the summers. And then Jim Cornette, who was a big feuded with Nick Cowabunga quite a bit, was responsible for it, and he brought it in, he would say, every summer as something for the kids to get a kick out of. And they did. It was a very popular character throughout. It made a lot of press in the pro wrestling magazines, which is where I heard about it, and then I went back and got to see some of it. Very entertaining shtick, because he did a lot of – I mean, he didn't do a lot of goofy stuff, but he did a lot of karate and things in the ring. And the costume itself was – definitely something to behold. And so yeah, definitely one of the more colorful characters, and that's saying something, because, you know, Southern wrestling has a very long history of being colorful and over the top. But Cowabunga was a really interesting novelty, and something that was really fun for a long time. Of course, unfortunately, referee Mark Hildebrand has passed on. But that part of his legacy, I guess, will always live on as Cowabunga. So, actually, my number five in the Six Shooter tonight, I might have to take back what I said about the Hurricane, because this character most definitely is the most successful of the crossover comic book to pro wrestling characters. And my number five pick is Tiger Mask. And it doesn't matter which one you pick, but Tiger Mask himself. And what some people in wrestling don't know, probably a good percentage of people who know about Tiger Mask, it always goes hand in hand. Tiger Mask started out as a comic book character in Japanese manga, which is their version of comics. Japanese wrestling company was looking to bolster its light heavyweight, junior heavyweight wrestling division, and licensed out the character to become a real live wrestler, and they had great success with it. Tiger Mask, the original, was a huge, huge star all around the world. There have now been 5 different versions of Tiger Mask, almost all of them primarily wrestled in Japan. They spent some time in Mexico and did some tours of America, where he's a huge, huge attraction. And Tiger Mask himself, the character, is now back. They did an animated series in the 60s, I believe. I could be wrong. They are doing a new one now, a new generation of Tiger Mask animated series in Japan. I haven't been able to see much on that yet, just a few publicity photos that were posted about the return of the character. I'm not certain if there's a Tiger Mask in Japan now, but if there's not, I promise you there will be soon, especially with the show hitting the air. And an interesting side note for American wrestling fans who, you know, may not know or know, at one point, Eddie Guerrero portrayed a character, the Black Tiger, who was a villain from the series, and he was also brought into the ring to fight Tiger Mask in real life. He was one of many Black Tigers, and Eddie Guerrero, early in his career, portrayed Black Tiger. So a little WWE connection there, outside of the original Tiger Mask coming to the WWE in the early 80s and having some matches in Madison Square Garden. There's a really popular Dynamite Kid match out there if you want to go check it out. Definitely worth looking into. So Tiger Mask, definitely, all 5 are incarnations, the most successful of the masked superhero wrestling characters, as it were. Now, my number 6, I had a toss-up here because both characters wear similar outfits, but they portrayed the character very differently. So I'm going to talk a little bit about both of them, and I'll let you decide who indeed wore it better. Obviously, the most popular, one of, probably the most recognizable of all superheroes, is the one who started it all, Superman. The Man of Steel, as it were, a cultural icon, a symbol of American comics, and symbol of America itself in many instances. Movies, animated series, everybody knows who Superman is around the world. So, of course, at some point, someone was going to have to pick up the cape for Superman and head into the ring. And I can think of 2 people who have done such a thing. The first one is a former tag team partner of mine, a guy by the name of Super Cody. Wrestled for many, many years up and down the independents. Despite his short stature and, let's say, stocky build, he was a very popular attraction as Super Cody, with his sidekick, the entertaining, as always, Spanky the Monkey. Super Cody would defend the Northeast region from Wheelbreakers and extra slices of pizza everywhere, and definitely one of my favorite tag team partners. We had a great run before he flew off into the sunset to try his hand at other things. But Super Cody, definitely entertaining. He so went all out and made the character his own as a red cape, Superman t-shirt, his red underwear on the outside of his tights, quite literally. And always some special array of superheroics. Sometimes he would have a Captain America or a Mr. Incredible-inspired gear. But Super Cody was definitely an entertaining force in the ring. And on the other side of that was another guy by the name of Mr. USA Tony Atlas. who a lot of WWE fans know now for his stint when he came back and he had that crazy laugh and his role in Legends House where he brought that crazy laugh with him, and he was part of SmackDown or ECW for a while. He was a manager and definitely an entertaining character. But before that, for many, many years, he was an outstanding wrestler throughout the 70s, 80s, and 90s. And for a while, he donned the red and blue costume of Superman and made himself and billed himself as the Black Superman, which wasn't much of a stretch for Tony. He was an enormous, muscular individual, amazing agility, incredible strength. And from what I understand, he still occasionally makes an appearance in the Black Superman costume. It was definitely something. I know he did it in Puerto Rico a lot. He did it up and down the Independence after he left the WWE in the late 80s, early 90s. And it was just an interesting piece of history for the man named Tony Atlas, who, if there was going to be a Black Superman, he would be the first in line, in my view. So, Tony Atlas. So there you have it. Seven, as it were, comic book-inspired professional wrestlers, none of which were me, although I did have connections to one of them, I will admit. But there's so many more that we could get into and talk to. But, you know, we call it the six-shooter for a reason. So that's pretty much our look into the world of comic books and superheroes tonight. I thought a couple of my cohorts were going to call in and talk about this, but doesn't appear that that's going to happen. So fortunately, I had enough to lather on all about. So I hope you enjoyed that interesting look back both at comics based on pro wrestling and wrestlers who base their look on comic books. I have a couple show notes before we go off the air. Last week I announced the Holiday Comics Hero Drive, Holiday Heroes Comic Drive. I have a little more information on that. This Monday we are going live. I will have all of the information set up on how. I'll be posting it on Facebook. I'll be posting it on the Totally Driven page, on the Maverick page, mavericksroundup.com. My blog / website / hub of all things Maverick. And it'll give you information on how you can take part. But I'm very excited to announce a couple of people who are sponsoring here. Got my first drop-off point set up today. The Comic Universe comic book store in Folsom, Pennsylvania will be hosting a box, a short box for comic books that you can come by and make donations at any point. Starting this Monday, November 14th, and the drive's going to run till early December. I'll have the shutdown date next week, if not by Monday, just so we have enough time to process and get the comics ready and take them to our recipient. I'm very happy and proud to announce that the comics will be delivered at a special free event. You can come down and see me and maybe a few other surprises that will be announced in the weeks and months to come. As we deliver free comic books, we're going to be donating some both to the library and to the kids. Any kid who comes gets free comics as a thank you and a Christmas gift to us. We're going to be at one of the quite popular, the Darby Free Library in Darby, Pennsylvania. They're actually working on making the Darby Free Library a historical site, the site of the first library. Just so excited to be partnering up with them on this and possibly some future comic book related events. And that's going to be in mid-December, late December, a special event. I'm very much looking forward to it. So the Darby Free Library, if you live in the Pennsylvania area, near Philadelphia, outside of Philadelphia, in the Delaware County area, definitely stop by, get some free comics. I'll be announcing all that information. The library will have information, and of course Comic Universe will have information. So this is coming together, and I'm very, very excited about it. I'll have all of that information launching Monday. I've been talking about it here on the radio show, so you've got a teaser. But the rest of the world will hear about it on Monday. So all the information, I was going to hold it, like I said, but for, you know, as things are getting closer, I'm getting very excited. I have a stack of books already people have been giving me when they heard about it. So that's exciting. And honestly, I'm really excited about this. A good chance to give back, I believe. Reading and writing and creativity and so many things come from comic books. People who don't normally read, people who may be reluctant readers, have all gotten into comic books. And it's something I've used successfully over the years. And the comic book drive is going to be the beginning of a very exciting series of projects for me, and the show is the starting point of that. So I'm very, very grateful for Blog Talk and Bay Ragney for giving me the chance to host this show, which is in turn giving me a chance to help others and give some kids who may not be able to get their hands on graphic novels and comic books out there, and helping donate books to a library, because libraries are such an amazing, amazing asset that are always struggling, and that just baffles me that they don't get enough funding and support that they need, because they give so many great services to so many people. So it's my chance to help the libraries, to help kids, to and support comics at the same time. And you'll be hearing a lot about that in the weeks and months to come. I'll be partnering up with some more people involved, and I hope you consider getting involved yourself. One more announcement to make before I log off for the evening. I'm very comfy here, but the Mavericks Comic Roundup radio show is going to be making a move. We're staying on the Totally Driven Radio Network. I'm very happy to have a home here, and we'll continue to do so. But we're going to have a time change and a day change. Starting December 4th. We are moving to Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. I love my 10 o'clock at night time slot, but I decided for a long time, I've been thinking about, even before I started the show, I was thinking about doing a morning, a weekend morning slot. The reason being, if you listen to the show, you know, I talk comics for everyone. Comics for longtime comic fans, for new comic fans, but especially kids. I do a lot of kids comics and all ages comics and family comics, and I want to be able to reach a bigger audience in far as who's able to listen to Mavericks Comic Roundup live. This way I'll be able to hopefully incorporate some more interactive features to the show, get some more kids calling up. I've had a lot of positive feedback to several of the segments I've had, and while the show is not going full-on kids show, because there's so many great comics for everybody, we spent an hour talking about comic books and wrestling today. We've got superheroes, we've got horror, you know, but I wanted to move to a morning show just as something I've always wanted to have. Moving the show starting in December 4th to 8 a.m. on Sundays will possibly reach a bigger audience and let me mold the show more following the natural directions of things as it is, because I'm getting a lot of interest from families. And if we have a time slot that's a little more available to, you know, maybe we'll get more interactive features on the show. Not that I don't love all the people who've been calling in and listening, and hopefully they will follow me. And that's not to say I've given up on my Friday night at 10 o'clock spot. I've kind of gotten used to, between the Retro Wrestling Hour and now Mavericks Comic Roundup, doing a lot of talking on Friday nights. So maybe, possibly, could be, if there's room on the network for another show, I may hold on to this time slot. But we'll see what happens as we get closer. So that's all the Mavericks Comic Roundup we have for this week. If you want more information on the show, any of my blogs posts, I've got several of those a week, upcoming appearances or more, or as it would be the holiday comics drive, you can head to mavericksroundup.com. You can also follow me on Instagram at Mavericks Roundup or on my Facebook page at Mavericks Roundup. To read my weekly comic book reviews for the Totally Driven Entertainment Network, you can go to totallydriventv.com. I'm also writing reviews for the Comic Universe Comic Book Store. And on their Facebook page, you can check that out by searching at Universe. You can check out my Star Wars Family podcast at galacticclubhouse.libsyn.com. We're also on Instagram and Facebook by searching at Galactic Clubhouse. I host the show with my two daughters who also have segments here on Maverick Comic Roundup. I thank you very much for listening to the show. I hope you found it entertaining and a little bit educational. Get out there and read some new comics. Next week, Dancer Reads Dance Class Number 2. Princess Maria will be back on the show talking about the second graphic novel in the Paper Cuts Dance Class series. That will also be the last show on the Friday night at 10 p.m. time slot, because I do believe we are taking off the Friday after Thanksgiving. I believe. I may be inspired to do a show, but I think we're taking the holiday weekend off. And then when we come back in December, we'll be at 8 a.m. on Sundays. So thank you for tuning in. I am out of here. See you next week. Happy trails.